Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to having the dialogue and discussion and your input. Keep in mind, Let's Face the Issues is a radio broadcast that's designed around the Q&A concept of having questions and answers, dialogue and discussion. We invite you to join in. Jump in at any time during the course of the broadcast. You can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have a dialogue and discussion together. Look forward to your input. It's usually entertaining as well as informational and challenging. And I pray that it's inspirational and challenging to you as a Christian. I pray that as you listen each day, you do so from the standpoint of, as a believer, what should I do? How should I get involved? What should I do? How should I respond to what I'm hearing? Because what you hear on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, daily, is something that you'll not hear anyplace else. It's a discussion and a dialogue about truth. It's a discussion and dialogue about issues. And many times we have Christians that have the philosophy, even as Christian pastors, have the philosophy and the feeling that we ought not to talk about anything but Jesus. And that ought to be the only place, and ought to be the only place we do that is inside the church. We ought not to say anything about these, quote, political issues or issues that face society. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to face the issues, and as we do, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus reminded his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That indeed means truly, sincerely, absolutely. If you continue in my words, then you're my disciples absolutely, indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about today is truth hate speech? Truth is truth. When you speak the truth, is it hate speech? Or if you want to use another topic or title, if you will, freedom of speech versus hate speech. How do you discern? How do you differentiate? What is the difference? Should we be fearful as we say things that would be considered hate speech? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the truth. If I were to tell you the truth and the truth offends you, is the truth then considered hate speech? The Apostle Paul warned the Galatian believers. He warned the Galatian Christians in the book of Galatians, five or six brief chapters in that small book. But the Apostle Paul warned the Galatians of the dangers of following after another gospel. Another gospel. The word another in that Greek text simply means a different gospel. A gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. A gospel that is different, unique from, and not the same as the true gospel. He warned them about that. And as a result of him warning them about the falling from the grace, that is falling from the truth of the gospel, to follow another gospel, and he warned them about following false teachers with another gospel, they didn't like it. And they basically said that he was confronting them, and as a result of his confronting them, they were confronted with the truth, and they were confronted with the actions that they were taking as being incorrect. And as a result of that, they simply blamed the Apostle Paul. And in the fourth chapter of Galatians, the 16th verse, the Apostle Paul said, and I want you to ponder this. This is the essence of where I'm going in the broadcast today. I want you to understand, Paul said to the Galatian believers, Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're parents and you have sons and daughters, and you tell them the truth, that if you do this, if you smoke pot, if you do this, if you get drunk, if you drive drunk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if you mess around with Miller Lowlife and Bud Dumber, it's going to harm your life. They may get angry. They might not like what you're saying. But if it's the truth, it's the truth. And it ought not to be viewed as I dislike you or I hate you because I've told you the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe today that we are being condemned, confronted, and castigated as believers by the liberal social society, by the whole transgender gender identity LGBTQ organization and movement, just because we stand for truth. Now, I could go for the balance of this day in the broadcast covering the different nuances and evidences of what I'm saying. We're being confronted as Christians. We're being chided and challenged and condemned as Christians, as conservatives, because we take a stand on truth. And ladies and gentlemen, there's no better source of truth than the Word of God. The Bible, it does not just contain truth, it is truth. It is the epitome of truth. This is the reason I encourage people to be a central biblicist. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible, how does the Bible respond to the issues that we're faced with in life? Today, ladies and gentlemen, Christian free speech and our religious liberties are under attack just because we stand for morals and ethics and values and biblical truth and the constitutionally free speech that is protected for us as Christians. If you talk about today and you say the sodomite lifestyle is unbiblical, you're considered a hate monger. You're considered homophobic. If you say that Islam is absolutely a danger for society and that the Islamic invasion is coming, if you say anything about Islam as being wicked and evil as a religion, and it is the most vile, wicked, evil religion on the face of the globe. And I can validate that in 1,000 different ways, primarily from their own source book called the Quran. If I were to tell you that being involved in the sodomite lifestyle will destroy your life, and yet there are those that have programs and ministries designed to try to get people out of the sodomite lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle, and they're being accused now of hate speech and hate mongering, and they're being castigated, and the ministry is shut down and condemned as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bill of Rights, our First Amendment, guarantees our right as Christians and as conservatives to the religious liberties and the free speech that's afforded us, not just in the Constitution, but based on the authority of Scripture. Amendment 1, the First Amendment, says, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or press. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that we have that religious liberty, we have the freedom of speech, and yet so often as Christians we're caving into what is demanded by society. Let me just read you the dictionary definition of hate speech. There are two different definitions I'll give you. One is abusive or threatening speech or writing that expresses prejudice against a particular group, especially on the basis of race, religion, or sexual orientation. Second one is hate speech is speech that attacks a person or a group on the basis of their attributes such as race, religion, ethnic origin, national origin, sexuality, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Wikipedia definition of hate speech. The other was simply a dictionary definition. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, when it says attributes such as race, person cannot control how we're birthed into the world. Religion, and that is there primarily to protect Islam. Islamic hatred is okay. But if a Christian or a conservative warns the world about the dangers of Islam all of a sudden it is considered hate speech. I'm thankful, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we do not officially have any federal hate speech laws on the books. And I'll talk about that later in this broadcast. But then when it comes to sex, again, we're birthed either male or female. There's only two sexes that God's created, male and female. However, when it comes to what they're calling now sexual orientation, that goes into a totally different direction. When it comes into gender identity, they're now claiming some 57, 58, perhaps more, supposed gender identities today. A person can wake up this morning being male, and all of a sudden before evening, he claims he feels his identity is identified then. He feels feminine, and so therefore he can identify as a female. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. And if you say anything about it, all of a sudden you're a hate monger and you're talking, and your talk is hate speech, and you're trying to tear down and destroy what they're doing. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time Christians, conservatives and Christians, stand up, get out of the closet, be heard and be seen, and push back on society and what we're watching as the diminishing of our religious liberties and our freedom of speech, because we're being condemned. You're either called a racist, or you're called speaking hate speech to try to diminish or shut down the dialogue and the discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. There's a problem when we have folks like Joy Behart and Sonny Huston that's on The View on television, when they make all kinds of fun of Vice President Mike Pence, and they talk about his faith, his Christian faith, as being dangerous. And Behart equated that to being mental illness. In fact, the co-host on that show, last name Hostin, H-O-S-T-I-N, said, and I quote, "When you have Mike Pence, who now puts this religious veneer on things and who calls people values voters, I think we're in a dangerous situation," end quote. That's nothing less than diminishing the value of religious free speech. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole movement out in society today from college professors that are demeaning white people, and yet it is not called hate speech. Let me just read you a blurb or two of articles on that. And if you were to reverse your thinking for a moment, if these articles were to be stated as condemning any other ethnic group in society today, all of a sudden you'd have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer wanting to pass a law to condemn it and to prevent it. But it's happening on a freewheeling basis today in America. I have probably 40 or 50 articles on very similar statements as this. But a Georgetown professor says white people should be mutilated. He uses another term, and fed to the swine. Here's another article. Ladies and gentlemen, says white GOP, that is the Grand Old Party, senators deserve a miserable death. Here's another article, says now drinking milk is a symbol of white supremacy. Did you know that? I enjoy drinking milk. I didn't know it was considered white supremacist in doing so. This article says cow's milk has long been a symbol used by white supremacists, this article says. PETA, which is an absolute unholy organization to begin with, PETA, that rather protect the life of a dog or a cat that have no thought or whims or wishes in any way to protect the life of an unborn baby. PETA renewed its claim that dairy milk is a symbol of white supremacy. Further, it says, PETA writes in their post that cow's milk is the perfect drink for all white supremacists because the dairy industry inflicts extreme violence on cows to get their milk. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article about a college professor. He says it's an article, it's a study that they're presenting. Reflect on your whiteness. University of Iowa was holding a workshop entitled Understanding Your Whiteness to Become a Better Ally. These workshops are aimed at people who want to learn about and discuss the inherent privileges that comes along with being white. Ladies and gentlemen, Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan, says God wants a separate state for blacks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I've just given you a little collage, if you will, of articles that are absolutely distasteful, absolutely discriminative in their language, and yet it is not called hate speech when it comes to the fake media, when it comes to the liberal left wings in society today. They have nothing bad to say about it. It's all right. Nothing is inherently wrong with those statements. These college professors are demeaning, condemning white people. And again, may I beg you to consider, if they were saying that about any other ethnic group in society today, especially if it were anything like that being said in relationship to the illegals coming across our border, all of a sudden it'd be a racist. In fact, when President Trump says something about the illegals coming across our border and the host of crimes that's being committed, all of a sudden Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the whole host of those in Washington say that he's a racist because these are brown people coming in. That's not the point of the issue. That's not the issue at all. That's not the fundamental rationale behind what President Trump is saying. The whole point that I want to make, ladies and gentlemen, in asking the question, if we tell the truth as Christians and as conservatives, if we speak the truth in love, is that considered hate speech? It is free speech. Is it free speech or is it hate speech? That's the question that we need to consider today as we think on this subject. The whole point is that Louis Farrakhan, for example, calls Jews and white people all kinds of vile, vicious, vulgar, despicable names, and it is not condemned as hate speech, but it's called his free speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't dissect society, differentiate what is free speech for some and what is hate speech for others. It is simply a way to shut down any debate, any dialogue and discussion in relationship to some of the events and some of the issues that we're faced with in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 401-1413, 401-1413, jump in this dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you think it's too much of a hot potato to talk about. I don't. I believe it's something that we as Christians and especially as conservatives will need to face and understand that God calls on us to be salt and light. And as salt and light, we cannot just sit back idly, silently, and say nothing and do nothing. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, some 90% of pastors in America believe that the LGBTQ movement is wrong. They believe that there is a danger with Islam. They believe that there's a danger with the movement today to squelch the religious liberties and free speech, but less than 10% of them ever say anything about it from the pulpit. There's a major problem with the silence in America that's leading us, as I call it, down the primrose path to where we will lose our First and Second Amendment rights in particular and will destroy Christianity. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, if socialism comes into vogue and if socialism becomes the end thing for America and we destroy the Constitutional Republic and the fact that we are a representative form of government, do you realize the first thing that will be squelched, the first thing that will be silenced, the first thing that it will harm will be the church and Christians and the conservatives in America? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to comment or question, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Sir, we are in Sodom. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what the country has turned into. They've rejected God. If you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're liable to get in trouble. What you're saying, I'm so glad that you're on the air, and I'm thankful that people are listening to truth. We get so much of this spin that it makes you sick. And brother, let me ask you something. What do you think about this killing little babies after they are born? What do you think God thinks about this? That he's going to bring judgment down on this country like we've never seen before.
I've said recently that we as citizens of America need to start looking to the sky and being aware that fire and brimstone could fall at any moment, as in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 and 25, because of Sodom and Gomorrah and the sin. And I said on the broadcast recently that God didn't send two witnesses in to pass out tracts and witness to them and lead them to Jesus because of what they were doing. He didn't send them to reparative, restorative therapy in some fashion. He set fire and brimstone to destroy them. And I believe the same thing God is doing today is he's going to bring his judgment on America as a result of murder. We murdered 61 million human beings in the mother's womb. And now we've come to the point of full acceptance and full embrace of infanticide, where that baby can be born. And as the governor of Virginia said, place him over on the table, keep him comfortable until he dies. Literally, that's infanticide, that's murder. And life begins at conception. And yet we're in a society today where we want to take away the infant's life, and we have placed no value on the infant in the womb and very little value on the mature elderly citizens. And those are the two categories that I believe God's going to judge America in as a result of it. That's the homosexuality, the LGBTQ sodomite movement, and the murder of the infant in the womb.
Brother, you're exactly right. I couldn't say much more, except there is, you know, to make it real simple, thou shall not kill. That's a soul. That's a little soul. And believe me, once they take that baby apart and use the parts for other infants or something like that, the people that do that are going to face that little soul one day and judgment day. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And the judgment, they will see that little soul that they killed. It makes me sick to know.
Absolutely, and absolutely. And most of our listeners may not be aware of the reason and the rationale behind wanting to now have abortion legal up through the delivery of the child. Listen very carefully, and our listeners that are tuned in can hear this also. One of the things that we've not thought about, it is the reality of it. Planned Parenthood, as you mentioned a moment ago, Planned Parenthood is selling baby parts. Those baby body parts are being sold. If they're at 6 to 12 weeks, that baby body part will bring about 25 to 50,000, sometimes 75,000 for the major parts, the heart and the other major parts of the physical body. But by the time that baby reaches full gestation and is being delivered, those same body parts sold by Planned Parenthood will bring upward of $250,000 to $300,000. The rationale. That's the rationale behind now wanting to murder a baby and commit infanticide and simply commit murder at that delivery stage is because of the M-O-N-E-Y. But you're exactly right.
Thank you so much, brother. I just want to thank you so much for coming on the radio, telling the truth, you know, not giving us a bunch of spin about the gospel. You gave us the truth. Jesus says he is the truth. I am the truth, the light, the way. The gospel is the truth. And to kill one of those little babies just makes me sick, especially coming out of the womb. And the mother can look and they can make the decision as to whether to keep the baby or not keep the baby. That is a little soul.
Absolutely, and it's absolutely barbarianism that we're practicing in America today, and yet we're supposed to be an enlightened 21st century generation of people, and we're beguiling that fact by what we're doing. But listen, I really appreciate your call, and I'm humbled by your comments and your statement, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand and recognize that because we're conservatives or because we're Christians, we're going to be demeaned and rejected by society. Jesus reminds us in the scripture, if you're hated by the world, remember the world hated me first. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today of is truth hate speech? And if we speak the truth about murder by way of abortion, if we speak the truth today about the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle, if we speak the truth about Islam and its danger, by the way, demographers tell us that by the year 2050, America will be an Islamic nation. You hear me? By the year 2050, America will be an Islamic nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that petrifies me. I won't be here, but some of my kids and grandkids will be here. And if Jesus tarries, unless the rapture of the church takes place, which I'm looking for every day, as the old cliche used to be, there's an evangelist that was living back in the 60s, and his a little logo, a little mantra was with a little trumpet, says, perhaps today. And we could hear that trumpet sound be lifted out today, perhaps today. But if we're left here, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be salt and light. We need to take a stand and speak the truth in love and not be demeaned or silenced by being called racist or by being called Islamophobic or homophobic or any of those terms. What about our freedom of speech? What about our Bill of Rights? What about, ladies and gentlemen, our freedom of speech is now being controlled, and for the most part, Christians are being silenced, and most do not realize that we're rapidly witnessing the muzzling, that is the silencing of Christians and churches and conservatives across our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, Canada has already instituted legally under the federal law, I think you would call it in Canada, Canadians' courts have already ruled that the LGBT, that's the sodomite rights, Trump, that is take precedence over, religious freedom and religious liberties in Canada. In fact, it was back in June of 2018, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that LGBT sexual equality and their rights trump all religious rights in an unprecedented blow against religious freedom in the nation of Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, that was voted on in the Canadian Supreme Court by 7-2 ruling. And it says that private Christian colleges that's associated, that one of them there with the Evangelical Free Church, require students to sign a commitment that reaffirm from that they will refrain from any sexual activity. And according to the Supreme Court in Canada, it violates the Canadian law. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think that can't happen in America, look up, lift up your eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh, because it's taking place before our very eyes. In fact, Joseph Ferrer, on his WorldNet Daily Internet News, here's an article. Joseph Ferrer says, three reasons free speech in America is endangered. And he says here, number one, big tech companies like Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google largely control all means and modes of mass communication and are inclined to yield to the thuggery by the left-wing, anti-Christian, anti-God, LGBTQ activists. Now, I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's exactly what's taking place, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't take much pushing from the activists to get any desired result from the corporate level cartel, if you will. They simply follow what the wishes are of that cartel. And ladies and gentlemen, Ferrer says, those in the news media for the most of American history are a bastion of support for the First Amendment and are largely unable to see straight when it comes to the free expression rights of conservative libertarians, Christians, especially any Donald Trump supporter today. Ferrer goes on to say, recent examples is what happened to the Living Hope Ministries, a Christian nonprofit ministry for those seeking biblical purity through an intimate relationship with Jesus. It's simply the homosexual activists came in. They labeled the Living Hope Ministries as bigoted, and they sent in a petition with 356 signatures and got Apple to be able to block all of their ads and their publications and what they wanted to say. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in danger in America when Christians and Christian liberty and Christian free speech can be biased, can be banned, can be in some way prevented by the major mega folks today that control most of our communication. Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're in control, ladies and gentlemen, and they are in the hands of the LGBT Islamic control today. They simply are not going to say anything or allow anything to be said that, as they view it, is against what they want to be said in America. Here's the point that I make. Hate speech in the United States is not regulated. U.S. Supreme Court has repeatedly ruled that hate speech is legally protected free speech under the First Amendment. The most recent Supreme Court case on this issue was in 2017, when the justices unanimously reaffirmed that there is effectively no hate speech exception for the freedom of speech and the religious liberties that's protected under the First Amendment of our Constitution found in our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we're in danger of losing our religious liberties and freedom of speech today if we allow those that are the immoral, ungodly, unholy movement in society to squelch what we say. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as salt and light. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.